If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew 17. I don't know if I'm going to fulfill the actual description of my sermon by Pastor Steve, so I want to apologize for that. This might be more on personal growth, and I hope I'm not repeating everything that was said last week. I know that I have not achieved or come to the point where I can say I'm there when it comes to growing in faith. I need to grow in faith just like every single one of us, probably some of you a lot less. You know, the disciples, they came to Jesus because Jesus said to them, he said, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to forgive people, not one time, every day, daily. If someone sins against you, you have to go back and forgive them seven times in a day. That's in one day. You know, later on, there's another part where he has to forgive seven times 70. But in a day, seven times, if somebody offended you seven times, now who could do that except for maybe your husband? The only person that could possibly come back and offend you and offend you and offend you seven times in one day, right? Or maybe a coworker. But if you have to forgive somebody who sins against you seven times in a day, man, increase our faith, Lord. That's exactly what the disciples said. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. If I've got to forgive somebody seven times, man, I need more faith. And I need more faith. And I love this series because the truth is we all need more faith. Because if we had faith just like a mustard seed, that's pretty little. We'd be able to say to a mountain, talk to a mountain, have it move. Talk to a mulberry tree. Is it a mulberry tree? Some kind of tree. And tell it to be cast into the sea. I've never talked to a tree and seen it cast into... Has anyone seen a tree? Anybody moved a mountain? I've heard about it. Somebody said they prayed and they moved a mountain and the radio station worked or something, but... Increase our faith, Lord. So let's pray first. Lord God, we need more faith. We all do. Lord, you were perfect and the perfect example and gave us all the perfect teaching that we need for this life. But Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. And Lord, it's not ever us. It's always you and your power. But somehow you've chosen to work through our faith, and that apart from faith, we really can do nothing. And it's impossible to please you. And Lord, we want to please you. That's what we want from our lives, to be pleasing to you. So Lord, through this series, through these nights, through tonight, we pray that you'd increase our faith. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there was a crowd, and a man approached Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or in the water. Now, what a terrible thing that would be if you had a child that was possessed and would cast himself into the open fires or would cast himself into any kind of water. You know, you would never get near anywhere with a lake or a swimming pool or anything. If you had a child like that, it'd be terrifying. I have no idea how old this child was, but it was something that was on this parent's heart. Please, we need help. He brought him to the disciples, but they could not heal him. And then Jesus gives these kind of strong words. He says, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Now see, those aren't the kindest, sweetest words you'll ever hear from Jesus. And notice what gets him upset, the fact that there was not enough faith among the people to be able to help the children there. And so, you unbelieving generation. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private. Oh, I'm sorry. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Immediately. Boom. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked him, why couldn't we drive it out? Now, it's interesting. We don't get a whole lot of demons at meetings in America. I mean, I have yet to be in a church in America where I've been preaching and somebody falls down shaking on the ground and is moaning or screaming. It's a regular occurrence in Mozambique. It is a normal, regular occurrence for somebody at the church to fall down and start screaming or shaking or running around, running into everybody. So I want to know, how am I going to get rid of this demon? I'm a little more involved in this, you know. I actually want to see, how am I going to do this? Because normally we have to take a team of people, and they get around it, and we immediately have them escort them out of the building, because I believe Satan wants to be the center of attention, and a lot of churches try to make it, and they build it up as the center of attention. Oh, we're going to cast out this demon, and I don't think that's appropriate. And we have a team that prays over him, and usually they pray over him 15, 20, 30 minutes, and then they get in the right mind, get up, and they come back into the service. Now, obviously, you got to disciple a person like that a lot, but actually, it's a real occurrence that regularly happens in many churches in the world. So it's an important thing to know. How can I do this? How can I just speak like Jesus did? Well, I need more faith. Now, he says, unbelieving generation. And then he says, why couldn't we drive it out? And he says, because you have so little faith. Well, I can see that. I can hear Jesus say that to me. Yeah, it's just because you don't have faith for this. You're right. What's unusual about it, he says, you have so little faith. But then the very next sentence is, but if you had faith like a mustard seed. You guys have all seen a mustard seed? I think most people have, because, you know, they have little things that you can get, little necklaces where the little mustard seed inside of them. It used to be really popular. I don't know if it still is. You could probably get an earring, because an earring could easily have one inside of it. They're little teeny things. Now, what's unusual about this is it's your faith is really small. But if you had a dinky little mustard seed faith, you'd be okay. I mean, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, right? I mean, you don't have enough faith, you're an unbelieving generation, but if you had faith like a mustard seed, in other words, it sounds like he's saying, if you just had a teeny bit of faith, it'd be okay. Now, it doesn't help that we have versions that say, and here's how they say it, they say, truly I say to you, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, how many have in their Bible as small as a mustard seed? Probably most of you, right? As small as, depends on what version you have. Anybody have as a mustard seed without the word small? Oh, we got a lot of King James people out here, don't we? Yeah. Because the truth is, the word small is not there. I actually had to look it up. You know, I actually had to take a year of Greek when I was in school. I forgot everything. I don't remember any of that stuff. I just remember 8 o'clock in the morning, 5 days a week, I had to drive up to Vanguard University for Greek class. And of course, I forgot it all. Who's going to remember all that stuff? But I know enough to know how to look in a lexicon and read the words below it. And there's no word small. Now, the problem with putting as small as a mustard seed is that's an interpretation rather than a translation. They're trying to help you understand what Jesus said, but that is not good if that's not what Jesus is trying to say. Because I think what he's trying to say is, if you have faith like or as a mustard seed, then you're going to be okay. Okay? There's a difference, right? Because otherwise, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. You don't have any faith. You need more faith. You're an unbelieving generation. If you had faith, small as. So maybe it's more like a mustard seed. Now, we have other stories about mustard seeds. What happens to a mustard seed? It grows into, and even in the Bible, it says a great big tree. Now, I looked up some pictures, because I can Google. If I'm in America, I can Google. It's more difficult in Africa to try to get the internet. The internet service goes down. 3 months later, we get the technician out. 3 months. Can you believe it's down for... Anyway. So I can Google it here. I can do it on my phone. Siri, show me a mustard tree. And it comes up. The wonders of science. So I looked at some mustard seeds, and they can get pretty big. They usually don't grow into a tree. But they go from something very small. And if you look in a Bible dictionary and look up mustard seed, you'll find that it's a very hardy, healthy, fast-growing, can-take-over-your-garden kind of a plant. It makes these beautiful yellow flowers, and I've got pictures. I looked online. It's like filling a field of mustard seed. Because there are two different ideas that people have. Either it's talking about the size of the mustard seed, or it's talking about the fact that a mustard seed starts out very small and becomes something that is hardy and healthy and can take over a garden. So you have to have one of those interpretations. See, I'm obviously on the second one. And it's nice because it fits right into the series. If we're going to be growing in faith, then what God is looking for is someone who just has a little bit of genuine faith and uses it, and it's going to grow and grow and grow and grow. And I believe that's what's being said. I think it's more the attributes of a mustard seed rather than the dinkiness of it. Yes, it starts out very small. If you would just have faith and you would put it into practice and you would use it, then your faith would grow. And it would be something that would grow into a place where, if God so desired, you could move a mountain. I qualified it there. I'm one of those people that kind of qualify that things have to be done according to the will of God. But if he wanted a mountain to move, I could move a mountain if I had enough faith. So that's what's being said here, I believe. Jesus was able to... And otherwise, I remember when I was first saved, I had a friend, Skip Krantz, and he was reading this scripture. This was like maybe 35 years ago. We were roommates before I was married. And he goes, man, if I could move a mountain with faith the size of a mustard seed, how little is my faith? He's thinking 1,000th of a mustard seed small. And I don't think that's the idea that's really being said here. A mustard seed is very small, but it takes off and it grows. Genuine faith will grow and expand if you use it. Can move mountains, can do anything. Now, if we can see our faith grow, then what is it that makes our faith grow? And that's kind of what I'm talking about. So I might be talking more about what was talked about last week. Did you do the message last week? Oh, good, good, good. I'm glad. How do I cultivate faith? That's what I want to know. I want to know how can I have more faith? Because I don't always have great faith. I mean, some areas I've kind of like progressed in. I progressed. Money I got a lot of faith for. Other areas, seeing corrupt policemen in Mozambique change their hearts, I don't know. I don't see it. I just can't picture that it's ever going to happen. So there's a lot of areas where I just don't have any faith for it. Faithful habits produce faith. Did you know that? Faithful habits produce faith. It's funny, the word faithful. I like the word faithful because the word faithful, I'm going to be the master of the obvious. Faith is the noun and faithful is the adjective. It's the same word, right? It's the same root for faith. Faithful is the adjective of faith. So we can be full of faith or faithful. Faithful habits produce faith. When we act on that faith, we become more faithful. And what are these faithful habits that we need? And I think if we, you know, I find that most of preaching is just reminding people of the same stuff over and over. Have you noticed that? I've heard all that. You know, you've been around a while. I've been around a while. You know, when I was first saved, I listened to K-Wave when it was, I guess, they actually had some music back then. I don't know if they do it back to again, but I used to listen to that. No, it was before K-Wave. K-Bright. Anybody remember K-Bright? On the AM. This was before K-Wave. Before K-Wave. I remember when I first got saved, I started right before we went overseas to Indonesia. I worked with my friend as a roofer. What a lousy job that is, up on a roof. That's got to be like the worst job in the world. But I had the radio on all day. I mean, from the minute I got to work, I had driving to work, and I listened to sermon after sermon after sermon. Of course, then K-Wave came, and it was sermon after sermon. I had heard so many sermons, and I am a listener. When I first got saved, I got a Scoresby. Remember Martin Scoresby when he read the King James Version of the Bible? Man, I was talking like that. Man, you guys got a superfluity of naughtiness here. I mean, you guys have got to really clean up your act. Ye and thee and thou. I was like, the first couple weeks, I couldn't even understand it. But then my mind just clicked, and I could understand all the thees and thous because they only had King James back then. It wasn't like you could just go online and download any version you want. God, they got so many versions now. I heard somebody reading from the Passion Version. Have you heard the Passion Version? It was kind of cool. I like that. I mean, you got to understand, they're a commentary. They're not a Bible, right? They're kind of commentary. I go, I like that. I got to get it. So I go online, $89. I'm not getting that. And they haven't even finished the whole Bible yet. And they don't have it on audio yet. If it doesn't have an audio, I'm not getting that one. I know I was talking about the basics of the faith, right? The faithful habits produce faith. You know, it's interesting because I've been back and for actually 10 days in a row, I went bike riding. I'm trying to get some exercise. You know, I need some exercise. I'm trying to get healthy again after Mozambique. But I have a way when I work out. On the way out, I listen to worship. On the way back, I listen to the Bible. And it always works out for me. I just go out. If I go out, and the longer I work out, the more spiritual I become. It's kind of a, you know, it helps a little to exercise, but, you know, I'm getting some more. We live in a kind of a neat day where we can actually hear God's word anytime we want. And I think the Bible's the best way. I mean, I think sermons are neat, you know, but I know where I was. I'm back to my point. After a while, and you've heard enough sermons, you pretty much heard it all. It seems like, doesn't it? I mean, how many have been here? Christians been more than 30 years. Quite a few. Doesn't it feel like you've kind of heard all the messages? I mean, every once in a while something new comes, but not very often. But we need to be reminded of these things, right? And that's actually where my point was. But obviously, faithful habits are going to be like worship, prayer, bike rides, devotionals. How many of you heard that your whole life? You know, there's these statistics out there, and I know it doesn't apply to this church, about how many people actually have daily devotions. It's really kind of small. It's not true here. I could just tell by the people here. But I think there's so many neat little, like, daily devotions that to encourage people that are, like, new to the faith or just aren't doing this. Get one of those little books, some devotion thing with some scripture references that they have to look up. Because, you know, it only takes a few minutes. And if you do that every day, guess what? You get in a habit. And when you're in that habit, it'll start to grow. It seems to work that way. But obviously, if we pray and we worship and we listen to the Bible and we keep in touch with God and we develop our relationship with God, it starts out small, a mustard seed. But if we constantly, continually have a connection with Jesus, our faith is going to grow. Amen? Oh, they do that in Mozambique. I'm sorry. What I have to do is I have to go like this. Hallelujah! And everybody goes? Hallelujah. Amen! No, everybody goes amen. You don't get to do the hallelujah. I get to do the hallelujah. And you have to go like this. And then if your sermon gets really boring, you just do it a few times and it wakes everybody up. And it gets the widows going. We have, at our church, we have this whole section. Because we have a widows ministry, we take care of 150 widows. Guess what this side of the church is? This side of the church is all widows. You can keep them awake. You can keep anybody awake. I tell you, you can keep the dead awake if you can keep them awake. I mean, and I'm always over there, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. They wake up, and I keep preaching. Faithfully obeying God, faithfully obeying what we hear in the Word, faithfully following God through trials. These are the ways in which we live the Christian life, even when we just have a little bit of faith. It grows and grows and grows. We just have to be consistent and not stop and continue on and continue to do those things, and our faith will grow. And I know you know those things, right? I know those things, you know those things, but we need to remember and be reminded. And I'm going to remind you, as long as I'm in the tent of this body, I think Peter said that, right? I'm going to remind you of these things because that's my job. Do you know that's my job? That's Pastor Steve's job too. I'm just going to keep reminding you of these things until we're done. Also, though, I think in this little bit of faith, I think you have to use it. Now, I have already given this message here because I can remember which message I've given here. Because when I come to the States, I only have to write one message. It's kind of nice. I get to go from church to church telling the same message. Ah, that's a good one. Now, I had to do a different one this because there was a series on faith, so I actually had to do one on faith here, and I didn't have this one pre-prepared. My one that I'm going to come here, when I come here on Sunday, it's going to be on peace. I get to pre-prepare that. It has all my stories about what happened to me last year, and I can't use those because I have to save those for when I come next time. And now I'm doing a men's breakfast, so I'm not thinking, oh, man. I can't use any. I'm going to have every story I've ever done. I'm going to have. You guys have already heard them all. But I gave this message about David. Now, I think what was unique about David, and I love about the story about David and Goliath, is that, and I've shared this premise with you, but I think it's something that is really important. It's really, really important in our lives. That's why I'm sharing it again. David, when he went to go see his brothers, because his dad sent him to check up on him, when he got there, he saw Goliath. As soon as he gets there, Goliath down in the valley, just ridiculing and bashing Israel and putting down God's people. And all of the Israelites are quivering in fear. And David looks at that situation and by faith says, I need to do something about that. And he steps out in faith and he does something about it. And I think that is one of the premises of faith that is so important in our lives. We have a little bit of faith. And we see something and God stirs our hearts and we say, man, I need to do something about that. And I can. With God, I can. And that's faith. And when you step out and do something with that, but that faith of David did not just start on that day with Goliath. The Bible specifically says that first there was a, was it the lion first or the bear first? The bear came, big bear, and I killed him. And then he ripped apart a lion. I don't know how he ripped apart a lion, but it says he just destroyed this lion. He didn't use the slingshot on the lion. Read it. It doesn't sound like he's using the is that a slingshot? What do you call that? I guess so. I think a slingshot is like that. Piscopo, right? I think it's, anyway, no sir. Yeah. That means one of these things, so I don't know the. I don't think it was just the lion and the bear either. Remember, he is the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's the one singing a new song. I really think David, when he was out there watching sheep, I can't think of a more boring job than watching sheep. Maybe if they run away and you got to catch them or something, but I mean, usually when they're just right there, and he's out there just singing away, singing a new song. And so I think he was a worshiper. I think he had a heart for God. I know he had a heart for God, and I know he's a sweet psalmist of Israel, and I think that's what he was doing. I think he had a connection with God, and he was able to kill a lion, and he was able to kill a bear, and then Goliath came up and said, now I can do something about this, because he had faith, and it started out small, and then when he killed a couple of beasts, then he thinks, oh, I can kill that one too, because that's how God works. If you step out of faith and do something and see something that's wrong, and you do something about it, I'm not going to let this bear tear apart my sheep. I'm not going to let this lion tear apart my sheep. I'm not going to let this giant intimidate the people of God. And he knew this is wrong. I've got to do something about it. And you step out, when you see something wrong, God stirs your heart. He puts it on your heart. And you do something about it, and your faith grows. And that's how it happens. When you do something for God, and God comes through, your faith grows. And that's the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to continue to flourish and grow like a mustard seed. Now, there are areas in my life where I don't have a lot of faith. I can admit that. There's some areas, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I have areas that I actually have to improve. And I know it's hard to believe. The more I see my own heart, the more I go, man, there is so much in there that's just junk. I'm sorry, I've got to admit that. That needs to change. It'd be nice if it changed. Praying that it changes. But there's some stuff I just know. Money, I know. I mean, it's so funny because money, you know, Jesus talked a lot about money. Money's kind of an indicator of things. I don't know if you know this, but and I find it's a great tester. If you want to know where God guides, God provides. You heard that expression? Chuck Smith loves that expression. And I think it's so true. And I remember when we went to the Philippines, this was before we had pastored, before we'd done anything. First, we went to Indonesia. We couldn't renew our visas, so after 8 months, we had to come back to the States. We went back to the Philippines. We went back to the Philippines. We had $50 committed to support for us. Now, we hadn't been pastors or anything at that time. We had 50 bucks. We were hoping our home church was going to support us, but they hadn't said anything. 2 weeks before we left, they hadn't said anything. The weekend before they left, they finally talked to me and said, well, we're going to be able to support you $300. I had 50 bucks supported, and we already had our plane tickets. I was out roofing to make the money to be able to do this, and we're going. And you know what was amazing? We were there 5 years. Every month, there was plenty of money. Every month. We never knew where it was going to come from. We didn't have regular supporters. It was just different supporters every single month. And then a big chunk would come in, and we knew, we learned, oh, there's going to be some big ministry opportunity, like building the Bible school or building housing or building a library. And we just knew that that money that came, sometimes it came before, sometimes it came after, but we always knew it always came through 5 years straight. Never failed. And it just, our faith just grew. It was worse when we went to Mozambique. I know it seems like it shouldn't be. I was a pastor and everything. But we built this house, the spec house, to sell so we could support ourselves in the mission field. We had this beautiful plan. Then the market crashed. It's about 8 years ago, you know. So we're renting out the house. And we're having to pay bills and stuff on top. So we went out. We didn't have $50 supported this. We had to pay bills. We had enough in the bank to pay our bills for 1 year. And then we thought we'd live off the donations. We had 1 year. We had enough money. But we said, you know what? If God wants us to be here, God's going to have to provide it. Now it's been 8 years. We don't have any bills. God's still providing. And God's still doing incredible things. It's amazing. We have never had to worry about finances. And God has just faithfully come through. And so when you step out of faith and you see God work, you just know, wow, this is how God works. God is alive. God's real. God's able to do things. You have to do the same thing. You know when you drive home tonight, you have to have faith? You have to have faith in the traffic light. Did you know I don't have as much faith in the ones in Mozambique? But here, I have faith in the traffic lights. I can see them failing in Mozambique. I can just picture it. Two green lights. I can just, I don't know. It hasn't happened yet, but I don't have as much faith in those. But I have faith in the ones in America. I have faith I can go 50, 60 miles an hour. Now, there could be some jerk, you know, who's been drinking who comes and hits you, but that's different. I have faith that one's red and one's green, right? Yeah, how many of you have faith that you're going to go through a light? You know why? Because your whole life, you've never heard of two green lights. Now, maybe some cheesy terrorist movie, right? They hacked the computers and they're all green and everybody's crashing. But that's different. I'm talking about real life, not just the movies. So here they are. You got the green light and you got the red light. And you buzz right through the green light. You know they're going to stop because you've got a red light. Why? Because you have so much faith in the government? No, I mean, you just have faith in the people that built those things and the transportation department who programs them. They know what they're doing, right? And you have faith in that. Not only do you have faith in it, why do you have faith in it? Because it's been your experience. But it's not just your experience. It's been the testimony of everybody, right? And when you started driving, don't worry about the light. It'll be good. And then you watched your parents do it. Now, it hasn't been a problem for 16 years. I'm going to get out there. It'll be okay. I want you to know that faith grows that way. You can't see the inner workings of how the computer stuff behind those traffic light work. But you know it's going to work. Why? You've seen it work. It's been working forever. It's worked for everybody. If I had to have a show of hands, how many have seen God work miraculously in your life as a Christian? How many have raised their hands? You all have testimonies of what God has done. It's like the wind. You don't see the wind blow, but you know, it's a fact. Look at the trees. I mean, and you see that here. If you go around talking to Christians, this is called testimonies. They will all give you a testimony. I love to ask, what has God done miraculously in your life? Man, people all have stories. They do. When we used to have this can, I was talking about it when I was driving up here. We used to have this can because I saw a truck in front of me that said, God can. Well, we had a God can, right? But we heard about it at some homeschool meeting, I think, right? And we built this can, put it there, we decorated God can and Ken, you know how they're, you know. What's that called? In gamma log? Anyway, there's a word for that. A word that spelt the same but has a totally different meaning. Sow and so, you know, those kind of things. So God can. We had a can. Everything that went in that can, we taught our girls when they were young. We went to some homeschool meeting. We saw it. We're going to put all our prayer requests in that can. Everything that went in that can happened. Everything. Some weird things. I remember one time, we had Marissa and Danielle, our daughters. We were happy with our daughters. We wanted two kids. We did things to stop having more kids. I don't want to talk about that because it's none of your business. So we had two kids. We were happy. And our daughter, we don't remember it. You remember it's Danielle or Marissa. One of our daughters put in, we want brothers. And they put it in the can. No, don't put that in the can. Lorena says, good luck with that. We have three boys. Everything that went in that can came true. It did. I was driving here, I was talking to my friend. She said that they had a journal or a book, right, that they wrote down. All of the prayer requests of their adopted kids went in that book, and every single one got answered. And I'm saying that if you have a prayer journal, or if you remember the things that God has done, and you write them down, and you keep a history of it, your faith is going to grow. Because God is faithful. He's the one that's full of faith for you. That's faithful. That's what it means. It means the adjective of faith. He's faithful in everything he does. And you can look around and you can talk to people. And I think it's part of, I think we have become so, we're all texting and we're all like this. And maybe you get to see a few testimonies on Facebook. That would be good. Nobody reads your testimonies. Have you noticed that? I put a picture of a spider up on Facebook and I get 100 comments. I put some faithful saying about what God's done and I got 3 comments and 6 likes. I got 1,000 friends on Facebook and I got 3 comments on some faith, but a spider or some yucky looking food that I just ate and I get 120 comments, you know. I think we need to hear testimonies of what God has done in people's lives because God's done amazing things. I remember when we adopted the first of our 3 adopted boys because it was in the God can. We couldn't help it. Our life was just set from then on. God even had to change our hearts. And he did. That was amazing. We were set with 2. When we had 2 kids, we could have wrote a book on how to parent. We had the sweetest 2 daughters in the world. We had 3 adopted boys. We aren't writing any books. What not to do, yeah? We used to be the authorities. Now we are not the authorities. But that, I digress or progress or I did something there. I did it again. I have no idea where I was. Don't usually preach at night, so this is a little different. And I'm still on page 2. I got 14 pages. I guess I'm not going to get to those. I don't use notes in Mozambique, so if I do, it's just because I don't know the Portuguese and I have to have the notes there. But we adopted the first one, Matthew, and we had to pay for that. Our kids always say that because Matthew never says this, but for some reason, our 2 other adopted kids said, well, you bought us. And I said, yeah, we got you at the same time. You were 2 for 1. Did you know that? When you adopt 2, you only have to pay the lawyer fees and all of the fees for 1. You guys were a 2-for. I mean, this is pretty good. I tell them, yep, we got you 2 for 1. And the lawyer did it for free, so you were almost free. And they threw in Nate. So I don't tell them that. The other brother says it. Yeah, you only got him because you wanted me. That's why we can't write the book. That's the kind of stuff they say. So we got Matt. And we got this lawyer bill. Did you know it's very expensive to do a private adoption? It costs thousands and thousands of dollars. And we did not have thousands and thousands of dollars. And I remember praying, God, we don't have thousands and thousands of dollars, and we're supposed to pay the lawyer. We're supposed to pay the lawyer $5,000 now. I walked out to the mailbox. Guess what was in the mailbox? A check for $5,000. That's fun. You ever had a check for $5,000 in the mailbox? It's fun. Wow, I still remember the color. It was blue. I can still remember opening it up. It had my name on it. Didn't have the church. You know, that's good. At another instance, I went up. I have the pounds and ounces here somewhere. It's in these notes that I'm not looking at. So I go up on my office, and then we had a bookstore in our church, and we had an office up above. And I go up into my office, and there's a box sitting there. And I pick up the box, and man, it weighs a ton. And it said, personal for Pastor Brian. Ooh, I like that. I said, man, what I got? Like 40 rolls of quarters or something? You know, because it's so heavy, I'm thinking they even gave rolls of quarters. I open it up, almost 200 ounces of gold. Cougarans and American Eagles. That was fun. I read the note inside. It said it was for the church. It wasn't for me. It said Brian personal. I'm thinking, oh, cool. For the church. Okay. but that was exciting. We had just been praying about how we were going to get a building, and they had some land available where we were that we could have bought, and we didn't have any money to buy it, so we were praying about that, and this box of gold, that was the first thing. Then after that, wasn't that long after that, somebody gave us $400,000 worth of stock. I mean, just fun things. I mean, this is amazing. What is God doing here? This is awesome. You know, it's neat. You see God do things, and you remember those things, and you keep those in mind, because as you step through the next thing, it is amazing how quick you'll go, I don't know if he'll do this tomorrow. He's done it every day since you became a Christian 35 years ago, and he's been faithful, and he's never failed, but I don't know about this week. Well, I haven't been that great a person. Maybe he's going to fail me this time because I'm such a louse. We need to remind ourselves, God is faithful. God is faithful. He's always been faithful. It's in that one song, he's never failed you and he won't start now. What is that song? Is that Oceans? Is that Oceans or one of those? Where's our worship? Isn't that in Oceans? Yeah. In that song tonight, when they said an unforeseen kiss, when heaven meets earth like a... Did you change that? Okay. I just wanted to know. You don't need to tell me the other one. I thought I've been hearing the one I didn't like for so long. Okay. The one I didn't like actually is there. I wasn't hearing things. I think. Okay. Sorry. I'm not going to say what that is. If you want to ask me afterwards about that sloppy wet kiss, then. I've never liked that in the song. I love that song, but I've never liked that part. And you changed it, or somebody changed it. But God works, and he does amazing things in our lives, but we have to remember. We have to think about. Now, I think, obviously, faith comes by hearing, too, right? And hearing through the Word of God. Now, by the way, the context of all of that is evangelism and about Jesus, right? Faith comes by hearing. How are they going to hear unless you're sent and preached? It's all in Romans chapter 10. But the spiritual principle is still there, applies to every area of life. You are not going to change your thinking unless your mind is transformed. And the only way your mind is going to be transformed is through the Word of God. So the Word of God needs to permeate your mind if you're going to have faith. So we can talk about all these other things that are very important, and I think we need to do them all, but the number one thing we need to do is we need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear from those who are faithful, who have experienced it, who teach us the Word of God, and the Word of God will change our thinking, because if we don't change, how many know that all your actions are controlled by what you think of? I mean, if you don't think that something's true, then you're not going to believe that it's true, and you're not going to act upon it, so of course, the number one thing we need to do is we need to be in and know and meditate on the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. And you're still going, amen. Yeah, there you go. God does amazing things. And testimonies and what other Christians do and prayer, obviously, if there's no connection. Now, I know prayer because there is another instance in which, in Mark, I believe it is, when the disciples could not cast out the demon, and they came to Jesus and said, why couldn't we cast out this demon? And he said, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting, if you have King James, which sounds like lots of you do. Now, if you think about that, and it's the same instance, right? I'm imagining, you know, same story, right? You just get added information from Mark. It's a parallel story of it. If they only come out by prayer and fasting, does that mean at that moment when you're praying for him, you need to pray and fast? Well, that doesn't make any sense. I'm going to fast for the next 5 minutes and pray for you again. I mean, it's not, that doesn't work, right? What does it mean? It means you have a lifestyle of prayer and fasting, and this gives you the ability to be able to have the faith to pray for this person. So obviously that mustard seed faith to be able to cast out that demon is something that is a quality that can increase and grow, right? So prayer and fasting. Prayer, of course, is your relationship and communion with God, because you don't just want to be hearing and growing, you also want to have a relationship. But I think it's all mixed together. You have to have prayer and fasting, relationship with God. You have to have the Word coming into your life, and you have to be acting upon it. And you have to be stepping out in faith also. It's not just prayer and fasting. I don't think your faith is going to grow that great if you sat in a monastery and communed with God. I'm not sure your faith would grow the way somebody's faith is going to grow who might be doing ministry and acting upon that with real people in real situations. So it's all of these things working together that God uses to help people to be able to grow. And our own experiences and the experiences of others. Now, without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God. And the truth is, what time am I going to? Wow. I'm not going to go to 8:55, but that's a long, I got a lot of time. I could keep talking and talking. I'm not going to. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, Lorena and I were doing a video, something. What do you call those things? I don't know. What do you call iPodcast or something? Oh, we were doing a podcast interview when we were in Reading for Iris Ministries, and they sat us down with cameras, and they did an interview for it. I guess it's going to be online at some time. I looked it up. It's not online yet. Maybe they won't use it because they don't like us, but we recorded it anyway. And we thought it was good. I don't know if they use it. We thought it was good. But at the end of it, they asked, and I thought it was kind of a silly question because it seemed obvious. At the end of your life, when you see Jesus, what do you want him to say to you? Yeah, I mean, it seemed kind of obvious. I go, come on, why don't you just like feed me a line almost, you know? Of course I said that. And they go, well, yeah, that's what everybody answers. Well, of course that's what they answer, because that's what everybody wants. That's our heart's desire. Because, I hate to jump in because not everybody's that familiar, but I want to hear Jesus say, like he said, to those who were faithful with what they had, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many. Come and enjoy, and I love this part, your master's happiness. I'm excited about joining in my master's happiness. Doesn't that sound great? I love that expression. That is a cool expression. I don't want to hear so much, you know, unbelieving and perverse generation as much, but I want to hear your master's happiness at the end, right? I might need it some days. Some days I need to hear, you know, you unbelieving, perverse generation. Some days I need it. Because, you know, I don't know if you know this, but there's this kind of this picture of Jesus. It's in a lot of the worship songs, you'll notice, where, man, God just thinks we're perfect every day and we don't do anything wrong. I mean, just everything about us is just amazing. We are just amazing people. And there's kind of a teaching that you have to have your picture of Jesus. And I believe it's really important that we have a picture of the Father's love for us, his concern, his grace. And we cannot really overemphasize that enough. But at the same time, we have to have a Jesus that writes the first three chapters of Revelation when he says, but I got this against you. You really need to work on this one area. And sometimes Jesus needs to say to us, you know, you're doing pretty good, but you really got to work on this. And I want to hear that, right? Because it's true. I need to hear that. And sometimes Jesus has to say things to us that cause us to say, you know what? I'm not perfect. I need to grow in faith. I need to change. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. But you have to believe that he is, right? And that is, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God, you guys know these things, see? That's why you all have these miracle testimonies. You've been growing in faith by hearing the word of God for a long time. I say these, I can't do this in Mozambique. You know, I can't do this in the rest of the world. I can't have... You can go all over the world to third world countries, to all over the world, and you can say a verse and you can have everybody try to finish it and you'll hear crickets in the background. There will not be an answer. This is why we need missionaries. There is such a need around the world for people who just know the Word of God. Now, that word from God that it's impossible to please God without faith. Because you have to believe that He exists, He is, right? And then He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we actually have to put some effort into this. Diligence inquires effort. It's just not going to happen by osmosis. It would be nice, wouldn't it? There's people that believe that about language learning. They think, man, if I'm just in the culture long enough, the language is just going to flow right in my mouth. It doesn't happen. I mean, it takes some effort. There is some effort involved here. But you know, that applies to, you know who that applies to? It applies to Enoch. Did you know that? That reference of without faith, it's impossible to please God. It starts out in Hebrews chapter 11 with the testimony of Enoch. Enoch in the Bible was commended because he was one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the context of it's impossible to please God without faith is about Enoch, who was a man who walked with God and a man who pleased God. See, why do I want to grow in faith? Why? So I can be a more powerful minister than everybody else. I mean, is that what I want to grow? So I can have testimonies about all of the miracles I've seen. Is that why I want to? Why do we want to grow in faith? I mean, we can say, how do you grow in faith? But now we got to ask, why do you want to grow in faith? And I think the answer is because we want to please God. That should be the answer, because everything should be wrapped around in two commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Everything you do in the Christian life should revolve around those things. And so our desire, our greatest desire, should be to please the one who loves us and that we love. To please God. Why do we want to come here every Wednesday night and learn about growing in faith? Because we want to please God. Because we all want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I think that's the word that all of us want to hear. Matthew 25, 23, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. I have no idea what that means. Pastor Steve next week can describe to you what it means that we're going to go to heaven and be put in charge of many things. I don't know what it means, but it sounds kind of glorious, doesn't it? Now, by the way, I believe it's a spiritual principle. I believe this is talking about the future. After we've died, we go to heaven, or maybe we're going to get raptured, we go to heaven. He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, and you're going to be in charge of many things, whatever that means. I think it's also a spiritual principle. I think that if we are faithful in the few things, He's going to give us more things. I think that's just kind of am I stretching it here? I don't think I'm stretching it here. If you're faithful in a few things, a little bit of faith, He's going to put you in charge of more things. But He says, and come and share in your master's happiness. Now notice in verse Matthew, this is Matthew 25, 23. His master replied, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now the key word there is faith, which is an adjective, faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things, and you've been pleasing to God. Well done. That's what I want to hear. Faithful servant, faithful in a few things. And I guess that's kind of where I want to go in the last part here. I know I was initially asked about being faithful and seeing God do miraculous things. We have seen God do miraculous things. And He can do miraculous things. And I want to see God do more miraculous things. And He can do miraculous things in your life. But I think sometimes we get a little carried away when we hear these messages about faith, because they talk about moving mountains and all these great world-changing, you can change nations, you can affect everything. And maybe they get a little too grandiose. Because the truth is, we need to be faithful in those few things that we're right in our lives, that we're actually doing. I'm part of a school that I teach. I teach twice a year, not always because we're here this time, but they get about 300 to 350 students from around the world. They teach about missions, and they teach a lot about faith. And there's a lot of prophecy. And most of the prophecies are about how you are going to change the world. And a lot of the sermons are your destiny is to change the world. Well, that's great, but you better start with just those few things that you're faithful with. Now, it's neat. We have seen God heal people that couldn't walk. We've seen some guy that I guess couldn't hear. He gave me a big hug and was listening to stuff and put his arms around me. People couldn't move their arms. People who couldn't see out of one eye. We had a testimony about, you know, different testimonies. We've seen God do some miraculous things. We saw a guy that was diagnosed with cancer, he completely healed and has been healthy to this day. So we've seen God work and do miracles. And I think that's great. And you know what? You want to know how you can grow in seeing God do more healing? Pray for more people. That's it. That's all it is. If you pray for more people, you're going to see more people healed. I'll guarantee it. Do that for the next year. Come back. And if it's not true, I'll give you $1,000. Probably lying because I don't have any money. But if I had money, I could give you money. That was just some spontaneous thing I said. So don't actually believe it. Because I'm not going to give you $1,000. You'll just lie and tell me no. I'm just kidding. You guys wouldn't, I know. It's true. You pray for more people that are sick, you're going to see more people healed. And then the more you see them healed, you go, hey, God, there was a while there in Mozambique when everybody we prayed for, man, it just seemed like they got healed. It was just neat. And that'll increase your faith, and then you want to do it more. But I guess I really want to talk about the fact that most of faith is just taking one foot in front of the other every day. Every day, just one foot in front of the other, obeying God, loving others, in the simple things. Maybe it's faith enough to raise kids for 30 years. It's been 30 years. I'm done parenting. I got 2 more years to go. No, three. 3 years, 1 month, and 5 days. And then I'll be done parenting. It's only going to be 33 years. Okay, that's enough. I'm old. Somebody put something in a God can, and I got a parent for the rest of my life. I'm just kidding. We have 3 great kids. Boys. We have 5 great kids. 2 great grandkids, too. But I think we need to be careful when we talk about faith and the miraculous and doing these amazing things for God, that what really is important is that every day we're faithful in the few things. We're just faithful, faithful, faithful. And your faith will grow, and you will see miraculous. And like everybody's hand went up because you have seen God work and do miraculous things in your life because he does, because that's what God does, because his spirit lives in you, and that's how he works, because you're faithful in those things, and you continue on. I think about, we had a gal. Well, first, you guys know that we worked in, it was a big step for us to go from, we were in Pemba, where all the missionaries were and all the support and everything was. We decided to go into the center of the country where there was no missionaries working to a place called Zambezia. We lived there right in the center of town for about like a year and a half. And it was 2 years. Year and a half? 1 year. 1 year. Evangelistically speaking, they were there for 2 years. No, I'm just kidding. We were there for a year. And then we had bought our own property. We built our own house. We moved on to that. We were going to live there. And that's when we got robbed. Remember, you guys heard that whole story. We got robbed. So we moved to Dando, Mozambique. What was kind of cool about that is we went from, our faith was kind of stretched just going to into the center of Mozambique by ourselves and doing a whole province, which is 1/10 of the country. It's like a state. And the country's big. It's as long as, and I've told you this before, San Diego to Canada. I mean, it's a long country. And there's 10 provinces, and we're going to go into a whole province, and we're going to be in charge of discipling all of the churches and taking care of all the problems and whatever needs to be done. And we're going to do that. And so we're there, and things changed, and we go to Dando, and that's where we went. We took over a center there, and we got there. There were 3 single or young gals that were there that were running the base. And one of them's name was Callie. And Callie was there. She was from Texas. Now, anybody from Texas? Now, they say funny things in Texas. When she got frustrated, I don't know if you know this, but Mozambique can be a frustrating place. I gave this wonderful testimony about my car documents that got returned to me the day before we came here. We went back, they took them again. I haven't driven my car. We haven't driven our $31,000 car that somebody gave us as a donation because we got robbed and bought a beautiful car. We haven't driven it for 1 year and 8 months now because the government still has our documents until we pay them a bribe. We're not going to pay them a bribe, so they steal our car. It's a frustrating place. So what she would do when she was frustrated is she would say these expressions. And one time I heard her talking to a guy, and he was like just kind of crazy. And she goes, "You're as crazy as a stomp lizard." Now, I don't know what a stomp lizard is. I didn't hear a stomp lizard. He doesn't know what a stomp lizard is because he doesn't speak English. But it's her way of expressing herself in order to deal with the craziness. She would use all these colorful expressions in English to vent. Anyway, she was a character. We used to have some wonderful conversations. She'd been there, I think, 3-4 years, whatever it was. We worked together for 1.5 years. While she was in Mozambique, she got malaria, and she went down to South Africa, and she died. I'm telling it quick so that I don't want to get emotional and anything. Now, this girl, that she just wanted to come to Mozambique in order to help the poorest of the poor, and she mostly wanted to help the kids. And I remember doing her memorial service, her Mozambican memorial service, and we went there to do the memorial service. I said, "You know, in America, there's no malaria." And the people were kind of blown away. "There's no malaria?" You know what the leading cause of death is in Mozambique? Malaria and AIDS. Those are the two biggest killers in Mozambique. There's no malaria in America. And of course, you know, I mean, there's not the odds that you're going to die. I mean, it's probably 1 in 500 that a missionary is going to die of malaria. That's not great, but I mean, it's not, it's there. The reality is there that you could die for that. And she knew that. And she said she knew that, but she still wanted to come here and help you. And now, she didn't go to Bible school. She didn't have some big fancy ministry, or she wasn't on the cover of Charisma magazine. I say that because my sister-in-law was just on the cover of Charisma magazine last month, I think. She wasn't famous or well-known, but she was faithful. And she just wanted to go to Mozambique and help people. And I think in that was a few things. And I think that's what God said to her. I mean, I'm voting for it. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. See, I want to make sure that when we have faith, it's not just about doing the big, grandiose things. Sometimes it's just raising kids, being a faithful husband, being a faithful wife, getting up every morning, going to work, taking care of things that need to be taken, be a good witness at work, and not, you know, throwing your whole witness out by being, you know, you're honest and truthful in business. And it's those faithful things daily that I think God's looking for, because we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful service. You've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you over many things." There's going to be a big change when that happens. And there is, you know, there is a lot of malaria. I'm going to talk more about it on Sunday, but, you know, this last year, I had malaria twice in a row. Oh, man, they talk about twice in a row, that dragging you down. I was like, okay, what do we and where we are, it's 7 days a week, people at our door. Desanza, all day long. We hate that word. It's the one Portuguese word we can't stand. It's the worst Portuguese word in the dictionary. Oh, excuse me. There's a Brazilian person here that can tell us. It means excuse me, right? Excuse me, I'm coming in. It's 9 o'clock at night. Can you go away? So I was tired, you know. Yeah, but you know, because it is malaria. The mosquito is a dangerous beast. I get bit by a mosquito here, I go, "Oh, it's just a mosquito. Here, it's no big deal. Who cares? It's a mosquito. It's going to itch for a minute. It's not going to kill me. It's not going to make me drag around for the next couple months like a zombie." You know, there was an argument. You know, there's this argument because the African Council of Medical blah, blah, blah said that a child dies every 30 seconds in Africa from malaria. And then the American, U.S. something or something came in and said, "No, that is not true. It's once every minute." let's argue about this. And then the World Health Organization comes in and says, no, it's not 30 seconds, it's not a minute, it's on the low side, 1 minute, 28 seconds. This is actually true. They were actually debating about how long is it. Can we just get some mosquito nets, maybe? I mean, can we just maybe help them rather than debate about this? It was so neat. We went, let me just tell you about some of the frustration. One of the beautiful things is this girl, Callie, that died, her mom came with this big donation to buy mosquito nets and mosquito medicine for people in Mozambique. She didn't want to sit home and argue about it. She wanted to honor her daughter by coming to Mozambique. And we went around and we gave every single hospital bed in the hospital. Lorena went around there with the mom and stuff, and they put a mosquito net in every bed in the hospital. Because people get malaria from mosquitoes. The mosquito, you want to actually put a mosquito net around the person with malaria, not because you want to protect them, they already have malaria, because you don't want the mosquito to bite them, so it then goes bite you and you get malaria. But in the hospital where everybody's got malaria, guess what? No mosquito nets. They don't have mosquito nets. So neat being able to give out mosquito nets. And they gave out a bunch of medicine. They bought a microscope. We have two doctors at our base. That brings me up a couple more things I want to talk about, because I got lots of time. I'm 6 minutes over. I think I had all the time in the world. In conclusion, no, that was good enough. I am going to conclude, though, because, you know, I have to have a conclusion. And sometimes, don't you hate it when pastors say, and in conclusion, and then you look at your watch, it's like 15 more minutes, and the guy's still yapping. You told us in conclusion. And when you say in conclusion, I'm thinking 3 minutes max, right? After that, you're just a dirty dog, and you shouldn't even be a pastor at this point. There were a few more things I could have added, but I'm coming back. Coming back on a Sunday, and I'm coming to the men's breakfast. Sorry, ladies, I'm going to the men's breakfast. I guess those things that I really wanted to stress. One is, faith is like a mustard seed. It starts out small, but if you use it and exercise it and do things, prayer, spending time with God, enduring hardship, listening, reading, meditating on the Word of God, your mind will be transformed. Prayer journals. Sometimes you can even talk with faith. I think that's important too. I just try to stay away from that because there's a lot of weirdness around that, like claiming and proclaiming, and people say, man, I could die from that. Oh, you're going to die. there's some nonsense around that. But sometimes just using scripture when you talk and you talk to God and you think about things is a good way. Write down the things God's done. Ask others what miracles they've seen in their lives. You know, we don't have to all just, you know, be busy with social media and, well, yeah, I guess you could do it on social media. What miracle has God done in your life? Worship, I think worship's an excellent way to grow in faith because you're proclaiming who God is and what he's done and the kinds of things he does. So we can grow in faith. There's ways to grow in faith. I think we all know those ways of growing in faith, but we need to be faithful to be doing those things so we can grow in faith, so that we can become faithful servants. And why do we want to grow in faith? Because we want to please God. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many. And then the final thing I just wanted to share was that it's not just, and obviously I've been sharing it, it's not just faith for the big, giant, world-changing. It's faith in those few things, which then can cause you to become that world changer. I don't doubt that. But sometimes it's just being faithful in those things, like somebody like Callie, who just was faithful, just did what she thought God wanted to do until the end. So Lord, increase our faith. Help us to grow in the faith and in knowledge of you. Help us to grow so we might be more pleasing to you, Lord. Lord, there's a big world out there, and there's a great God to commune with right here. So So Lord, help us to be, all of us, to be faithful in the few things. And one day you're going to put us in charge of many things. We look forward to the day when we are going to enjoy the Master's happiness, your happiness. We're going to all bask in. So Lord, we just pray that in the lives of every heart here, you would work so that every single one of us would hear those same words, maybe in a different structure or something, but that we've done well, that we've been pleasing to you. So help us to grow in faith and work in our lives by your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.